Welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We took a week off last week, which is to say I was gone. And now we're back, and now this is the last week of our term, and all God's people said, amen. And so we will take 2 weeks off, and then we'll meet. I think our first meeting will be about March the 6th or something like that. It'd be the first Tuesday of the new term. And I think I've just about made a command decision, unless there's a huge rebellion, that when we finish 2 Corinthians, which we'll do in maybe next time, I think we'll tackle the Acts of the Apostles, and that we'll spend so long in there that we'll all be dead before we finish. But it'll be a good way to go. So anyway, here we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're in verse 19. Paul is still sort of working with them and trying to see that he has their best interest in mind. He's about to get fairly stern even into chapter 13. But chapter 12, verse 19 might sound something like this. Palai daketa hati humin apolagumitha kat enante theu en Christo lalumen. Tadapanta agape toi, hypertes humon oikodemes. So apalai is an adverb. It means long ago. The lexicon suggests that here it might be rendered something like for a long time extensively or something like that. And here we are in 12:19. And doketa is just from our friend dokeo. It's taken as an indicative. And it can mean to seem, something can seem to be the case. That would be the impersonal. Or personally, it means you think. So it's almost like you're thinking for a long time that we are commending ourselves. You can actually see it almost apologizing, right? Apologeomai, it's deponent, to you. That, however, is not the case. The contrast is, in the presence of God, we are speaking in Christ. That's what we're all about. That's what we're saying. And then we have just the ta panta, which could be accusative, but it's probably nominative in a implied linking verb clause, but all things, beloved, and then supply, are on behalf of the of you building, literally, or as we might say in English, are in order to build you. And of course, that's the goal of, I suppose, every Christian teacher or preacher, that even if one has to be stern or offer a rebuke or something like that, the goal is always for the building up of those who are the recipients of the message. So on the one hand, Paul is not being very gentle, but on the other hand, he's trying to remind them that, you know, this is what we're all about. So if you had to label the genitive, and of course you know that I love to label genitives, on behalf of the of you building, the building of you, it would be what? What do you think? The building of you. What? Yeah, probably an objective genitive from oikodemel. Good job, Ethan. He's got his Concordia Seminary sweatshirt on today, so that helps. Yeah. In fact, anybody out there, if you need help with your Greek, just buy and wear a Concordia Seminary sweatshirt, and that will, I promise you that will help. Well, it won't hurt, but. So again, very interesting. When we were back in chapter 8 and 9, you know, we had these participles without reference. We had all these grammatical glitches and so forth. But now the sentences and the clauses are actually relatively straightforward. Although we're getting into an interesting one now in chapter 20 and, or excuse me, verse 20 and 21. It took me a while to figure out what was going on there. Questions, comments about verse 19? Okay, very good. So we'll take verse 20, and I think we'll stop there. So verse 20, phobumoi gar me pos elthon uk hoyus thelo hiro humas kago hiratho humin hoyan u thelata. Me pos eris zelos thimoi erithei katalaliai psithiris moi physioses akatastasiai. Break out the lexicon, right? All these nouns, nominative nouns. So, now, remember that phobeo, strictly speaking, in the active voice, means to frighten someone. Okay, and then it goes to phobeo mai, which means to be frightened, and then it goes to intransitive, I fear. And then it can actually go to the new transitive meaning, to fear something. And that's what we've got here. And oddly enough, this is a particular kind of construction. You get a verb of fearing followed by may or may pos. And it's actually a kind of an idiom. You know, you're looking around in the grammars and they all mention this, see. And you can regard the may pos clause, which will take a subjunctive verb, as the object. It's what Paul is fearing. Okay. And we actually have three of them. Verse 21 is one long third may clause, which at least the translations and the grammar suggest needs to be taken as the object of phobumai. So in that sense, verse 20 and 21 are one long sentence. Okay, but we'll take 21st. So Paul says, for I fear lest somehow, or I fear that somehow, here's a participle, coming, and the referent of the participle would be the I in huro, I shall find. Now, huro would be the first verb of the me pos clause. It's subjunctive. From heurisko, aorist subjunctive active. And right in front of it is a relative clause. And the uk negates huro. So if you take out the relative clause, it would be, I fear lest somehow coming I will not find. Okay? You. And then now you have to make the hoyus thelo. Hoyus is from hoyas. It means of such a kind or of such a matter, something like that. It's a kind. They call it a correlative pronoun. And we might render it in English something like this. Fearing that or fearing lest, I will not find you the sort of people I want. Or something like that, if that makes sense. And, interestingly, Paul continues, kago, and also I, of course it's just kai and ego. Now we have heuretho, which is the aorist subjunctive passive of heurisko, first singular. I fear lest I be found in connection with you, the sort of person you do not wish. See how he's doing that? So he's actually, again, he's expressing he's still concerned, at least about some of the people in Corinth. And then, as you can see, after the punctuation that the editor supplied, we have another may pos construction. And now all we've got is nominatives. So we just have to supply the linking verb. Of course, if we wrote it out, it would be the subjunctive of eme, because it's in a me pos construction. So the way to do this would be to say, I fear lest I will not find you the sort that I wish, and also I be found in relation to you the sort you do not wish. Now repeat the verb. I fear lest somehow, or I fear that, now supply the linking verb, there be, and now all the nominative nouns follow. Strife, jealousy, angers, contentions, slanders. Now, I had to look this one up, and I had to figure out, how in the world am I going to remember what this means? I decided it almost is onomatopoetic. It's psitherismus, which means literally whisperings. See? And the lexicon suggests gossip. Okay. And then physioseis, you might remember that physio means to puff something up. Paul uses that earlier in Corinthians. So conceits. And then akatastasiae means disorderliness, says. It's a plural noun. Or what would you say, upheavals or something like that. So again, phobumai is the main verb, and then two may post constructions. So kind of a compound, two large compound objects, if I could say that, to the main verb, I fear. And the verbs, when they're there, are subjunctive. You might remember that may by itself can be translated lest, and it expresses what you could call a negative purpose clause. So it's similar to something like that. So, and I did have to look up a number of these words, and I'm very proud of myself for remembering what psitherismus means. I had to come up with a memory device. It means whisperings. Exactly. Yeah. They are actually. I don't know if Paul intends a distinction or not. Yeah. I mean, they both. If you look them up. They're obviously right next to each other in the dictionary, and they both mean strife or discord or something like that, right? You can see, actually, this is an example of a predictable and meaningless variant reading, that if you glance down, there's a flag on the play with Eris and Zelos, and what some of the scribes sort of naturally seem to do is they turn them into plural nouns. So Eris. And then again, Zeloi, probably just matching the number of the rest of them, right. So, and again, that's the good news about, you know, probably 98% of the variant readings in the manuscript tradition is that they don't actually affect the meaning. You know, it's even hard to translate any difference sometimes into English. So, yeah, Ethan. Oh, yeah, I actually forgot that. So something like that, take it temporally. Yeah, yep. You might even, predicate position participles can be conditional, too, you know, if I come. But he's planning on going, so maybe a temporal translation would be nestle slightly more strongly into the context. He's about to say that at the beginning of chapter 13, so. Yeah, good. Other questions or comments? Verse 20. Okay, 21 then. And I'll clue you in. It took me a while to figure this out, and then I thought, could it be that? And then the grammar said yes. So I again felt happy, which of course is the goal in life, is to make me feel happy. This is a third may construction after phobumai. And the ES is so far away that the ESV actually gives you a period, and then they repeat at the beginning of 21, I fear. See? So we'll take it that way, and it would sound a little bit like this. Me pollen elthantas mu, tape nose me ha theos mu, pros humas. Kai pentheso polus ton pra amar te katon, kai me meta noe santon, epite akatharzia, kai pornea, kai aselgea, he eproxon. So I fear that, or perhaps lest. Again, here's a genitive absolute. Me coming, again, probably temporally, when I come. By the way, this is a good example of how lots of genitive absolutes in the New Testament are not absolute, right? Because if you have a genitive absolute, the referent is not supposed to occur elsewhere in the sentence. But me is all over the place here, right, a number of times. But that's just one of those things. So I fear lest when I come again, my God, hatheasmu, may or shall humble me, tape na'o. That's the aorist subjunctive, active, third singular. Again, it's subjunctive because it's in a may construction. I fear that my God may humble me, proshumas, toward you, or maybe we might even say in relation to you. And, here's another subjunctive, pentheso, this is from pentheo, so this would be the aorist subjunctive active for singular. Pentheo, I looked it up to make sure. Most of the time in the New Testament it has an intransitive meaning, to just be sad or to grieve or to mourn. But you can also mourn over someone in the accusative, and that's that explains polus that follows. So I fear lest I mourn over many. In English we have to say over. I suppose we could say I mourn many. Now let's give two plural participles that are governed by the same article. Many of the formerly having sinned ones. This is from prahamartano, and it's a perfect participle. You can spot the kappa at the end of the stem. Many of those who have sinned, and now we have an aorist participle, metanoesanton, many of those who have sinned and did not repent. And then you can repent over something, in the construction here, epi plus the dative, over uncleanness and immorality. And anybody know the traditional translation of aselgeia? It's a kind of a King Jamesy word. Better than that, licentiousness. Yeah, right. A lack of self-control. And now a dative singular relative pronoun. This is where the big print helps, because you can actually see the rough breathing mark. Which they did, from praso. Okay. You might actually expect a dative plural relative pronoun, because we've had three feminine singular nouns. And I'm very, very happy to say this. This makes me very excited. The relative pronoun is attracted to the case of its antecedent.
That's porneia right there.
It is sort of a linguistic porneia. That's right. That is right. Yeah. So you might expect the relative pronoun to be accusative, because it's the object of epraxon from praso, right? Which they did. But no, it's dative, because the antecedent is dative and it's attracted to the case of the antecedent. Does this make any difference? Absolutely none. But is it fun to point out and show off a little bit? Oh, yeah. So, by the way, for those of you listening online, everyone just left. They're sick of it, and they've got better things to do. That's not true at all. They're all still here. So, okay, good. Questions about verse 21? Let's see, pentheo, and, well, the normal one is metanoeo.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Do you suppose it's related to
metanoeo? I don't know. I'm trying to think of some other. Penao means, penao means to hunger. That's a little different. So, not that I know. Why don't you work up a two-page paper on that, Bill? Yeah, in your spare time. Yeah, right, of which none of us have any, so. Okay, well, let's score a moral victory and get on into chapter 13 then. So, let's see, maybe we'll just take verse 1, which is not too hard. Triton tuto erchomai prosumas epistomatas dua martyron kai trion stathesitai pon rema. So, with respect to this third, so you could probably take it as an accusative of respect, I am coming to you. And normally in English, this is the third time I am coming to you, which is a little free, but you get the sense of it. So Paul has been there once on the second missionary journey, right? And then, again, you have to reconstruct it. He made a visit in which he was rebuffed, and then he wrote the sorrowful letter, sent probably with Titus, who has now brought him the news that their reconciliation has begun to take place. And so now here toward the end of the third missionary journey, and this is actually would be in Acts 21, okay, you can kind of match it up that way. Paul is in Macedonia, probably. He's writing this letter, and he's planning now to come south from Macedonia to meet up and to meet them in Corinth again. So with respect to this third thing, I am coming to you. Now the quote from Deuteronomy, at the mouth of two witnesses and three, panrema, every matter will be established. Isn't that interesting? He seems to be playing off the fact that this is his third visit, right? So this will be the third time. This will be the third witness, right? Yeah, kind of. When you're an apostle, you can do that, Ethan. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But again, he hasn't left the sternness behind, as verse 2 will make clear, also verse 3. So, but verse 1 is pretty straightforward, right? Any questions? Or okay, then verse 2. Let's see, maybe we'll get 3 as well quickly, and then we'll stop there. So verse 2. Pro erika kai pro lego hos paron ta deuteron kai ap on nun. Tois pro emar te kosen kai tois loi pois pasen. Hate eantha eltho eis ta palen u phasemai. Epe dokimen zeteta tu en emoi laluntas Christu. Has eis humas uk asthene. Allah dinate en humin. Verse 2, as I have prolegoed, that's the perfect of prolego, as I have said before, and I am saying in advance, when I was absent the second time, when I was present from par emi, this is the participle of par emi, the second time, and now from ap emi, and while I am absent now, to those who have sinned before and to all the rest, this is what I'm saying in advance, that, Aeonthelo, if I come into the again thing, ooh, face am I will not spare. See, the sternness, you know, hasn't left, right? Then verse 3, epe can mean when or maybe here, since. You are seeking, zeteta, the proven character, the proof, the dokime, of the in me speaking Christ. Now that's a pretty apostolic thing to say. You are seeking the proof of the Christ who speaks in connection or in me. Who, Christ, unto you is not weak, but is mighty in relationship to you, plural. So, you know, the gun is still cocked, if I could say it that way. I mean, the threat, what else would you call it? Maybe you call it a warning. That sounds a little better. The warning is still there, right? And Paul is coming now a third time, and he's loaded for bear if he needs to be. So, okay. Very good. Maybe we'll stop there. We might clean up a little bit on 2 and 3 next week. Well, actually, not in next week, but in 3 weeks we'll meet again. All right. Thank you very much.